No BFF, LOL, TU, thank you. I don't even know all the phrases. You've got to open your mouth. God, I'm a humble soul. I need you, God, in my life. I need you to touch this situation. We should bring our children to church so Jesus could touch them. Touch by example. Touch by other people who are worshipers. His touch will bless them and save them and guide them and satisfy them. Oh, just the power of God's touch in our lives. Jesus put love into action by touching the untouchables. The leper he touched. The Samaritan. The religiously unclean. Just a touch and their whole lives changed. A freelance reporter from the New York Times was interviewing Marilyn Monroe many years ago. She was aware of Marilyn's past and the fact that during her early years she was a foster child and moved from house to house, many houses. And she asked Marilyn Monroe this question, Marilyn, have you ever felt love? Marilyn Monroe teared up and tears began coming out and she said, oh yes, once when I was about 7 or 8, my foster mom at the time was putting some rouge and powder on her face and she noticed me standing beside her watching her and she looked over at me and playfully she reached out and touched my cheek. And in that moment, I felt love. I felt love. The touch only lasted for a few seconds. It was only just a playful, just a little brush. Not an attempt to communicate great warmth or greeting or affection. Just a touch. But as small an act as it was like pouring buckets of love over this lady that was, this child that was one day to become Marilyn Monroe. Starve for affection, starve for love. Sometimes God's touch is touching us in just a different way, though. Sometimes His touch is a touch that leaves us limping. Life's limping moments. Sometimes on the surface, we all look like we have it all together. We look like everything is just fine and we're smart enough and shrewd enough and we'll get through it, but we're still harboring hurt and fear, loneliness, disappointment inside. We're broken, but on the outside, we put on that front. All is well. I'm just teaching, just talking today a little bit. Life's limping. Moments. Sometimes God has to touch us and His touch will cripple us and hurt us. It will mark us for life. But when you've been truly blessed, when you are truly blessed, you will become disfigured. You'll go through some things to get to the top. You'll have to endure some things. To become a doctor, you don't just go get a knife and start cutting on people. There are years of practice and study and testing and preparation. It's work. It's tough. I'm not a doctor. I haven't done it. But I know it's taken sacrifice for those men and women who do it. To be successful in business, you have to be wise. You have to be willing to risk everything sometimes. You have to go where nobody else is willing to go. And you might hit a home run and you might get out. But it's just that desire and that willingness to strive for something better. That's why when you walk in the Bible, any person of promise, any purpose, any person of success, you begin to look at their stories and there's always something that is wrong with them. Look at Naaman. He was a great warrior, but he was a leper. Look at a leader named Moses, but he had a speech impediment. Look at a great king named David, but he was pretty weak. And God always blesses you with an issue. And God touches the hinder part, the socket of Jacob. And he has got a limp for the rest of his life. And that limp changed his life. And when I've been blessed by God, it will change your walk. When you've been blessed by God, it will change your walk. He touched the hollow of his thigh, the scripture says, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince that hast thou power with God and with men hast prevailed. Not only does God change our walk, but he will change our identity. Life's limping moments. The future is standing right in Jacob's hand, holding on to Jacob and asking him, what is your name? And the Lord was building a truly mighty man, a man with a new name, no longer Jacob. You know, it's ironic, the word Jacob means supplanter or stealer. But Israel, as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Israel, I-S-R-A, meaning to strive, and El meaning God. God strives. It was in the darkness. It was in the black of night. It was in the midnight. It was in that dark hour that Israel saw Peniel. Israel, meaning God strives, saw Peniel, meaning the face of God. He saw the face of God. And let me help you with this morning. Sometimes we get all caught up in our success. We get all caught up in our accomplishments. Oh, look what I've done, and look at this victory and that victory. Come to my trophy room, if you will. And, oh, yeah, I did that over there. And the Lord loves us so much that he'll touch us with a limping moment, a limping situation. He'll change our identity. And you'll begin to realize that the only thing that counts is what's done for Christ. Only what's done for Christ will last. We only have one chance at it. He's going to change our identity. And we'll find him in places that we never expected to find him before. As I look out across the congregation today, I know that every one of us here at some point or another, we have asked the question to ourselves or to someone else, why me? Why is this happening to me right here and right now? Don't you see all the trophies I have? Don't you see all the success? Don't you know what my name is? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this situation right now? What have I done, God? What did I do? Are you mad at me? What's going on? Life's limping moments. There might just be a touch that God is trying to touch you and get your attention to change your complete identity. The other day on the internet, there was an advertisement. Condominiums for sale. Trouble-free living. Pretty cool advertisement. Think about it. Trouble-free living. How many would love to sign up for a condominium for sale? Trouble-free living. I want to sign up for trouble-free living. Everybody would love to have trouble. I'll sign a 2-year contract. Yeah, no trouble for 2 years. Hey, trouble-free living. You got it. Can you imagine that? Trouble-free living. You know, if I understand this book at all, the only place that there's going to be trouble-free living is in heaven. We're going to face some stuff down here. We're going to have some limping moments down here. We're going to have some mistakes and failures and things that we don't do exactly right. And the Bible says that in this world, we're going to have trials and tribulations and temptations. Get ready. It's just called life. Congratulations. You know, in the Boston Marathon, there's a legendary obstacle called the Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill. It's starting at about mile 13 of the Boston race course, and there are a number of hills that they begin to have to climb and run up and down. And about mile 19, there's this hill called Heartbreak Hill. It's the biggest of the hills on the race, and it's the longest and steepest hill that you will encounter on this race. And what makes this hill even more difficult is that world-class runners begin to hit a wall. They say around mile 18 or 19. I would not know this for myself because I'm not a world-class marathon runner, just in case you were wondering. But at mile 18 or 19, these dudes that can run all day long and never stop, they begin to hit a wall, and they begin, their body begins to, you know, it's starved for glucose, and their muscles, and the muscles are screaming for oxygen at this point, and they know, okay, it's not going to get any worse than this. I have a friend right now that he runs every marathon he can get in. God bless him. I told him he's an idiot, because he is. But he loves to run. And he'll run 25, 26 miles every other chance he gets. And I asked him, I said, man, doesn't that hurt? And he said, yeah. He said, it hurts. But he said, you finally get to a point that your brain realizes it ain't going to hurt no more than this. I'll just fall over and die. I can keep going. So he keeps going. But at mile 19, Heartbreak Hill, you hit this wall. And when you hit this wall, you feel like you're going to die, they say. And Heartbreak Hill tests every runner to the very core of their determination and their will to make it to the next mile, to make it to the finish line. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are some Heartbreak Hills in our lives. There are some situations that you're up against right now, or that maybe you are fixing to go through, or maybe you've already been through it. They're called Heartbreak Hills. Life's limping moments. Life is not on a level grade. Life is not a beautiful field with grass that's flat and you can run and move and everything's going to be just peachy. Things happen. Life's limping moments. We have problems. Then we have bigger problems. Then it begins to mushroom or snowball and we're just confused. But have you ever considered that maybe God is just touching you? Was Samuel Butler in the year 1612 to 1618 who said, "The course of true anything never does run smooth." There was a gardener who took great pride in his garden. And one year he was infested and his garden grew full of dandelions. And he tried every method to get rid of them. He even wrote the Department of Agriculture and said, "What shall I try next? I've tried everything to get rid of them." He got back a reply letter that said, "You might want to try getting used to it." You know, it's worse for some of us than others. There was a person who helped elderly people, and they were taking this elderly gentleman to the doctor for his follow-up exam. And the nurse greeted the old man pleasantly and asked him if he'd had any trouble since she had last seen him. And after pondering her question for a moment, he replied, "You know, now that you mention it, I did have a flat tire the other day." Viktor Frankl, who was a prisoner in the Nazi concentration camp, wrote a magnificent book. It was incredible to read his experiences, and it was titled Man's Search for Meaning. Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he shares everything, and I quote, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing." Now remember, he's in a prison camp of the Nazis, killing thousands every day. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of all human freedoms, the freedom to choose. Every person, he says, can choose how they will face the troubles of life. We have the power to choose our attitude in any given set of circumstances. He further shares in his book, "If anyone has a why to live, they can endure anyhow." If anyone has a why to live, they can endure anyhow. Just maybe for your consideration this morning, the situations you've been going through with your family or your job or your children, maybe it's just God touching you. Limping moments. Limping moments. There's an old legend that says that when birds at creation realized they had to carry the wings around, that they were frustrated because nobody else had to carry these burdens of these wings, and it was awkward and it was heavy. But when the birds realized that they could spread their wings and soar to the heavens above, they realized that their burdens were really blessings. really blessings. What seems like burdens to you and I could really just be a blessing of preparing us and getting us ready. God's ways are beyond finding out, the scripture says. Sometimes we just don't understand why he has to operate the way he does, but it's beyond us finding out. It's not for us to understand it on this side of glory. But we'll know it better by and by. We become disillusioned and disappointed with God, so we give up on church and we give up on community and we give up on religion and living for God. But God always knows what is best for us and what is next for us. If we'll just hold on, don't let go, just hold on to God and say, God, I want that blessing. God, I want that touch. God, I want that. Oh, this might be a limping moment for me, but God, I want to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one enjoys pain. When it comes, we want to relieve it and get rid of it as quick as possible. But just trust in Jesus. Maybe he's just touching you for a moment. Even the Apostle Paul pleaded with God 3 times to take away the thorn in his flesh. I've heard many debate over what the thorn was. Maybe a wife, maybe something else. I'm not here to say. But he pleaded, God, please get this thorn of flesh out of me. Before he finally found God's grace to be sufficient. You've been fighting against something you cannot see. Let me remind you that in the New Testament, it's wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You can't see a principality. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. I've come to tell somebody today, the invisible force you're struggling against is your future. It's your future. That's what you're struggling against. You've been fighting with what you cannot see because of a confrontation of biblical order is on your life, and your future represents what eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. My future is fighting me because it wants to make sure that I'm delivered from my past. It wants to make sure that it's going to be able to change my identity and make me a new man and a new creature. My future will not let me just take it until I've been able to come up to grips with the stuff that's tried to kill me and say, you know what? It's all right. I forgive you. I'm not worried about you no more. I've got to press towards the mark. I've got to reach the call of the high call. I've got to make it. Jacob. This is what Jacob says to his future. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's faith. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Look at the not yet and keep holding on to the not yet until not yet becomes now. Don't you let go of the word of God and the things of God. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Your future is going to be better than your past. Let your past go. Let your failures go. Let your disappointments go. Just know it was a touch of God. He was molding you and making you, putting you through the fire so you could be an overcomer. That's why you have a testimony. That's why you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. God, you've touched me. I've been through the trials. I've been through some stuff I don't understand. God, I forgive them all. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. What matters is here and now. My future from this point forward. My decision in my mind from this point forward. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to touch everybody around me that I can. You can stand to your feet. I'm out of time. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word, your presence. Bless us today, oh God. Touch every man, woman under the sound of my voice. Let them realize that you're just touching them, but you're going to bring them through. You're going to make them better than they were when they went in this, God. We give you praise, Lord. Touch our worship service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody. We'll take a quick break. Come back for worship service. Hey, you're going to make it. Sir, you're going to make it. Ma'am, you're going to make it.